This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. I really am. How are you?
I'm good. So the NBA is here. It's back. We will be at a week of games starting come tomorrow. The NBA started a week ago Tuesday. And some interesting things I took note of, but I wanted to start with you, the coach's eye. What have you seen so far through almost a week of play in the NBA?
We could spend 3 hours on this. I watched a lot of games. I had a player text me this week. He's like, "What are you doing, coach?" And I sent a picture of me in front of four screens. And he's like, he wrote back, I gotta get that for myself. I'm like, "Brother, I know what you make for a living. You could easily afford it. It's not that expensive, and I am." So I watched a lot of games. So my first thought was, players are out of shape. Yeah, I don't think the average person would see it, and I'm happy for somebody to tell me I'm wrong. But I think that a lot of players don't take the summer as seriously as they should and maintain a solid level of fitness so that training camp just kind of gets them to the final level. I don't think most guys do that. And so because of that, consequently, they rely on the team to get them in shape, but I think teams are terrible at that. Some franchises are very good.
Miami Heat, very good.
The most famous one, yeah. Probably OKC is good. I don't know, but I think so. The games are practice, so they'll get there, but they're not there now. So you're going to see pretty crazy fourth quarter collapses and terrible decision making, whatever. When the oxygen gets thin in the brain, guys lose their minds. So that was one thing. Another thing is, I do think offenses, it used to be the case growing up in every sport, defenses were ahead of offense. And I think, and I don't mean to sound self-serving because I'm just one of millions now, but I think the industry that I, you know, started has helped offense get ahead of defense this time of year.
Okay.
They're working on their skills all the time. It's a year-round endeavor. What they're not doing is thinking about how to defend anybody. Right. And so the combination of not really being mindful of defense all summer, but they're being it's not just the reps they're getting offensively, it's their mindfulness of their offense, right? The context to create this shot and this shot and this shot that I'm working on against a gym, against air conditioning. I got to rep it against no one before I rep it against other people. And when they're playing pickup, they're not playing defense. Remember the whole summer UCLA pickup? You think that's helping anybody now?
No.
Come on, it's absurd. if you do that to be aware of, oh, I'm not in very good shape, that's great. That's a good reference point. So I think that and then training camp is so short.
Yes, it is.
And these coaches are so afraid to coach, which is the other thing I'll get into. These guys just don't have defensive mindsets. And so the more successful communicators, the more successful practice planners, and I want to be very clear about this, Gerard. There is a talent to organizing, implementing, executing a practice.
Correct.
And I promise you, NBA coaches have no monopoly on it. There are amazing, amazing high school coaches that do it. Ditto college, ditto the NBA. The reverse is also true. I am privy to watching practices, training camps. I do get access to film. And the evidence is overwhelming that some guys know what they're doing, some guys don't. And so it doesn't mean they can't coach in games, because you can be a good game coach and a bad organizer. We're seeing defense trail the offense as I see it anyway. I'd love for metrics to see how that is. And I mean individual offense more so than team stuff and the way guys are doing stuff. And then, as you know, I'm going to write this week about some of the contenders and what they look like.
Yep.
I've liked what I've seen from Boston.
Yeah.
I actually think, you know, I know Miami's history, so I think they're going to get much better. I like their starting point, even though I think their record's 1-2. They play good teams. Yeah, OKC, we've all talked about a little bit. The Warriors. I was excited about Wiggins. I was not excited about him after game one. I've liked him better since. Looney was really bad. I thought game one better since. Very impressed with Denver starting five and the way they're matriculating in their backups with their best players to get them solid game reps in flow of that's positive. They feel good about themselves. Yeah. At some point, you're going to have a second unit, and because you can't play your starters all that many minutes. And then also, I don't yet know what's going to – oh, the Clippers
looked very good last night.
Have impressed me some with their spurtability. Quote Clark Kellogg again. Yeah, that was really a bad game. That's not, I expected a better one. I think that I want to see who manages this war against
rest.
Who manages that? Because that's going to really potentially, because luck is part of it,
of course,
play a part come spring.
That's we'll definitely talk about that. I love that you made the point about scripting a practice and being effective in communicating that, right? You know, as people know, listen to the show, as a longtime swim coach, it's similar in that regard as well, right? And in fact, in swimming, that is where all of the majority or 99.9% of your coaching comes into play.
Yeah.
Race day is just what it is, right? You've done the work, so it's a matter now of you just going out and doing the time that we prepared you to do. Right. And scripting practice, right, to have it set up where you have your build phase, you have your peak phase, all the different things. I imagine in basketball, it's the exact same way, right? Yeah. When are we going to peak? When are we not? How do you, and also, David, as you know, as you work with players, knowing when you can see without them telling you, they're looking a little bit tired. I'm going to back off a little bit this week, right? Still work on stuff, but make sure that we're maintaining so we're not overworking them so they get injured or something bad happens and then we got problems. But you said it, coaching, it's the idea about this tool, and we talked about it last week, communicating, right? And communicating effectively what you want to get done. It's a lost art, maybe, in many respects.
I would take a different approach. I think it's always been hard. So I respect what you're saying. I just don't think it's lost. It's never been found. Do you know what I mean? Something that's lost means it was once found. I think we've always, we've had, page one, introduction of my book, We Are First in the Business to Inspire.
Correct.
That is a given. I think in the NBA, it's a little different because you play so many games. I do think it matters, though. The ability to communicate, the ability to manage egos, very tough. Yes. Very, very tough. When I'm watching some of these teams, I've been watching tape. I probably have clipped 30 to 40 plays already this morning to send out to people, maybe more than that. I'm astounded at some of the bad shots that I've seen. And by bad shot, I mean a player taking a contested shot with lots of time on the clock, especially when that player is not one of the primary scorers, which means he's even less likely to get a foul called on him. I don't mind it if you draw a foul and whoever you are.
Right.
Then it's a better shot. But like you got to take those guys out of the game. Right. Not the second they do it. It's not college. Right. But maybe a minute too earlier than the rotation would suggest normally. And you got to say something like we can't win when you shoot those shots. And so I think eventually you'll find a balance and teams will start finding themselves. But there's a race here. It's all going to be bunched up. We're all going to have a lot of teams within 10 games of each other. And so wins now matter. And instead of having to play your best players an extra 10 minutes a game, instead, get all your players playing better when they're in the game, and you'll have a better chance to win.
Yep, and I love that because that goes into what I want to talk about around the league this year. Something you said now for the past, two to three seasons. That
about parity?
We're going to see much more parity.
Last two seasons,
In the league. And Steve Jones tweeted out, Steve, of course, son of Steve Snapper Jones, who Those of you longtime basketball fans know that name. Steve had a point on Twitter. He said, "One of my big takeaways from this season has been how competitive the league is right now. There just aren't a ton of easy wins. You have to show up and sustain." And we had talked about that at the beginning of the year when we were looking at, okay, where are the, you know, a schedule comes out, everybody looks at it. All right, where are we going to bank 3 or 4 wins? And you're looking around, and it's like, first question is, who's really bad? Okay, in the West, Portland. All right, that's one. Like, Houston,
Memphis, but.
Right, they have John Morant coming back in 25 games, right? Houston may have a bad record, but that's not an easy win. And case in point, they played the Warriors last night. Warriors on the first night of a back-to-back. They were up double digits, and Houston stormed back. And I bet Steve Kerr's thought in his head was, all right, we get this lead blown out really big. I'm going to rest Steph and everybody in the fourth quarter, and we won't need to play him. Well, sure enough, it got tied in the fourth. Crap, I got to play Steph. Now everybody's got to come back in.
They took the lead in the fourth.
Mm-hmm, they sure did.
Houston took the lead in the fourth, yeah.
And so when those things are happening, you know, you have a challenge, right? Because first night of a back-to-back, and this is also something that the Warriors are going to do. Anthony Slater, the beat reporter for the Athletics, noted this. Steve Kerr said he will play his starters, those core guys, Steph, Clay, Draymond, on the both sides of a back-to-back in the early part of the season. Well, when you rely on stars that are over 33, 34, 35, and you have to play extra minutes, there's a cost, right? David, at some point, I don't know when the tax bill is coming due, but it's going to come due.
Right. So there's a risk, right? There's no guarantee, but there's just increased probability that something's going to happen. This is what you and me are worried about. And Henry, we're worried about it.
We are definitely concerned about it. And, you know, you saw it also, David, early in last week. So the big Thursday night game was Suns-Lakers.
And it seemed like 8 years ago.
And the Suns were without Beal and Booker in that game. So it was just Durant. And LeBron had been on that quote-unquote minutes restriction, right? Okay, well,
yeah,
that didn't last too long because...
You can start erasing the quote over the quote. You can cross a line out with Ghostbusters style minutes restriction.
Right? Ham played LeBron 30-something plus minutes. Durant played almost 40 minutes, and you saw it because Durant's rest patterns, like every star player's rest patterns, it's the same every game, right? You come back at this point in the fourth, unless game circumstances dictate otherwise. Well, in game two, shouldn't dictate, right? But it did for Vogel. He was like, I don't want to lose this game. KD come back 2 or 3 minutes early. Okay. And one, they didn't win the game, and you added minutes onto him, right? Again, I don't know when that bill is coming due, but at some point, if you continue to go along this track, this is not going to be good. So the teams that are smart, David, to your point about how to manage this, I think are going to do well. So the question, and the tough part is, as a coach, you so eloquently put it out on our morning call, they're prisoners of the moment. And as a coach, it's so hard because you've got to think long-term and short-term. But David, so many of them, I think, get caught up in the short-term. We have a chance to win tonight. Let's go get this win right now. And I'm like, well, if you coach every night like that, that's not going to serve you well, I don't think.
You know, I've said this before. It's on a tangent a little bit. When I'm advising young coaches, when I'm advising guys that have never coached a game in their lives as head coaches, they're just grad assistants typically, the people who are calling me. They've gotten their master's degree or a second master's degree, you know, at some program in the country at whatever level. Hey, coach, I want to make a living in coaching. What should I do next? And I always say, oh, I think you should coach. I don't know. I know, coach. I know what you mean. I said, no. You don't know what I mean. You're not coaching now. You're doing video stuff, right? You're running errands. Right. You're getting coffee. Right. Like, I know what you're rebounding and passing. You're not coaching anybody as a GA. Maybe some coaches allow you to, but mostly don't. Same thing in the NBA level. The video guys are just doing video and rebounding a pass. They're not coaching. Go coach. And so I don't think a lot of them have done it because, and I'm not smarter than any of these guys. I'm just older and experienced, but I didn't do any of that stuff. I coached. And so I've given this example once before. When I was coaching JV basketball, I also was assistant varsity, but I was head JV coach at 22 years of age. And one of my ninth graders went to take a right hand shot on the left side of the floor when absolutely should have gone left-handed and made it. They came out of the game. And I used to tell them, I don't care if it's to win the game. You take the shot you're supposed to take, make or miss. We learn from it. We practice it. We get it repped up because my job is to deliver you to the varsity to win championships, which my very first class won 3 titles in 4 years. I did a good job. Now, it also helped that we got really good players in. even after my first year. I don't think these guys have any of the these coaches have that life experience. They might have it as a player. Many of them are players, but they were the best players ever. Right. A lot of these guys. I just sorry, you were making a left-hand shot at you when you're eight. You know, and I think it's a mistake. I really do. I think they are prisoners of the moment. Don't see fourth quarter of the game as well as 4 months down the road. The better ones do. And, you know, and I'll say this too: the best managers and owners empower their coaches to make long-term decisions that might cost us wins now, because we'll get there. That would be the idea. We'll get there. That's why the G League is so valuable, as I see it. The teams that are getting their players through their G League process, and then their guys are getting rotation minutes with their NBA team. That's how it's supposed to work, just like baseball with the minor leagues.
Yep.
And we're not close to being there yet.
No, not at all. And I think, you know, your point about coaches being empowered by their owners and GMs, well, that's the fear, right? They're afraid they're going to get fired. So that's why they coach every game to win. But it's like, who's getting fired at game two of the season? Like, probably not, right? Like, I don't think that's going to happen. And the NBA season is so long. It's 82 games, right? Like, you can figure out a way to, all right, let's play some guys. Let's figure out what we're doing, right? Which is what Denver ultimately has to do. And I had it in our show notes.
Yeah.
Denver doesn't look hungover, yet, right? I'm not saying they will be hungover, but they don't look like they're champion. They're hungover from a championship. They look like, no, we're hungry. We want to win more. But Malone is also realizing, I got to play Peyton Watson. I got to play Julian Swaddle. Everybody, Gignaggi, those guys, Christian Braun, they got to get minutes because come April, May, and June, they're going to have to play because those guys can't play 48 minutes a night. And they need a break at some point. And so you might lose some games as a result, but that's okay.
Can someone tell Christian Braun to change the spelling of his last name or just change how we pronounce it? Come on now.
You see Braun, you're like, Braun, Brown.
Take one for the team, please.
Take one.
But I do. We want to be more accurate. We worry about these teams who overplay their veterans and overplay their stars. I hope you and I are not saying I told you so in January.
I don't. I want to be clear.
None of us are people, rooting for that.
We don't want to be right about this.
No.
Like,
no.
We do not want to be correct.
We want to see Steph and LeBron and AD and Giannis and Drew.
All those guys.
All of them in April and May.
Yes. I want to see them. I want none of them to get injured at all, ever. Right? Like, that's what I want. Like, that's not realistic, but that is my goal. I want guys to be as healthy as possible when we get to the playoffs. But, you know, if you're grinding them into the ground, tip style, in October.
Right. And you mentioned Denver. Let me say this. Mm-hmm. It's much easier. If you play the flute or you play the violin or the piano, let's say, and Mozart composed your music,
you're going
to
sound great.
Or you're really going to be terrible and everyone's going to know it.
Right.
Right. So it's one or the other. We find out pretty quickly. And that you don't last. And the difference in the NBA, you don't last very long.
Right.
Someone else. That's, you're playing with Mozart. It's just, and he's competitive.
Very
and he
big.
Cares. He really helps smooth out the rough spots.
Sure
and,
does.
And they know everyone knows their role. That's a really important point. And I give Mike Malone credit. I give Jokic even more credit. Calvin Booth as a GM. Guys stick with what they can do. They won the championship that way. Whereas if you watch some of these other teams and you see average players taking attested shots with 12 on the clock, you don't see Denver doing that.
No.
Almost ever.
Right. And it's the continuity. Everyone knows his role and his pecking order. Who eats when? You know, Shaq used to always say, the big dog eats first. Then you're right, like all those different things, but and everyone has bought into it, right? And you often talk about culture and how you get people to communicate and buy into their roles, and you have to inspire them to do that, right? If you don't inspire them, they're not gonna fucking buy anything for. And it's interesting because I think about that in terms of San Antonio. This isn't in the rundown, but it's not because I don't think Pop or RC Buford are bad. I just wonder because these young players are worrying about their next contract, right? What kind of challenges do they have, right, with Vic? Who's getting all this pub as like the guy. Devin Vassell is less worried because he already signed his rookie max.
So he's
happy. Vic knows he's going to get paid when it's time, but everybody else in that roster is fighting to get paid. And oddly, the way that most players they get paid is by scoring lots of points. And your thing is like, well, if you help them win possessions, you'll get paid.
I will tell you from I'm in the know, this is not just something I'm guessing. Victor's people are paying attention. Because that's ultimately going to decide who's going to be on that team with a partnership. It's a partnership.
Of course.
Wembanyama's going to be one of the biggest stars in the world. The world. Okay? The Spurs are not just going to dictate roster spots. He's going to have his say. Now, that may be maybe 13, 14, 15. But in terms of who he's going to play with, because his agent is a crafty, experienced guy, and Victor is who he is, they're going to have a say. And so you may think you're about to get paid. But if Victor doesn't want to play with you, you'll be paid by somebody else. And so it's a tryout. Who plays well next to him? Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
Yeah.
You don't, may not believe if you don't want to, but trust me, it's happening now. They're talking about it now. Who does he team up well with if you look 3, 4, 5 years down the road?
And that's the point, right? Because when it's time, when they're ready to win, which will be in, like you said, 2 to 3 years, who are the players that can win with him? And you have to learn. And it may require, again, you buying in and sacrificing, right? And learning, how do I win possessions? And for young NBA guys, as you often say, who are used to at some level, maybe in high school, maybe in college, they were the guy on their team or the number two guy. And now it's like, yeah, but not on this team. You're not, right? Like, how do I buy into that? Because I want to stay in the league. It's tough. Yep. It's a really tough lesson to learn.
Yeah, you've got to, you know, when in doubt, if I was having a player on a team that's a guy like Victor, when in doubt, throw the ball to Victor. He's going to like it. And go rebound.
Yeah, I like
go
it.
Go rebound. Yeah, I like it. It's simple that way.
A young player, David, that's got me, piqued my interest, was Jalen Duren this season. Looks early. It's only 3 games. Nothing to lose your mind about. But 23 points, 15 rebounds, 14 points, 17 rebounds, 17 points, 14 rebounds. Two blocks, and 4 blocks, and basically shooting 80% from the field. Now, look, that's not going to continue. I understand that.
No, but 68% might.
Right. And he's showing, look, Detroit might be good. Like, I'm not saying playoff good, but like, they're going to be better than last year. Unless your Cade is healthy.
They're not a pushover.
That's not a team you go into like, easy win in Detroit on Tuesday night. I don't think so. Nope. And I wonder, Dave, well, first, let's talk about Jalen Duren. What are you seeing from him?
He's just this sick athlete who uses his powers like a sledgehammer. You know, he's just going to dunk everything and play around the rim, got a great motor. And Detroit deserves credit for utilizing him and limiting him. If you remember the day we published it, he got hurt, mm-hmm. or it was the day before he got hurt. I wrote an article about Wiseman and how the Warriors have really fucked up, mm-hmm. and they should just do basically what Detroit's doing with Duren. Let Wiseman play off his athleticism. Let him drop coverage. Don't give him the ball. Let him read. Don't give him threes. He's not touching the ball outside the rim area. Keep it simple unless it's DHOs. Teach him how to be successful in that narrow area and then let him grow his game. They just thought they could sprinkle him with fairy dust and he'd be like everyone else, and it's been a disaster. I feel so bad for him,
for him. No, yeah.
And Duren, they've done it. Because Duren wasn't as skilled as James.
Right.
And this is why I say the same thing. Victor Wembanyama could learn the same lesson. Victor, you could look it up, how many turnovers he has, and then just watch on synergy how many are off the dribble. Stop doing it.
Yeah.
Stop doing it.
I see
you
it.
You can't dribble.
You're not Kevin Durant. Don't do that.
No. He didn't do it as a rookie successfully either.
Correct.
He wasn't nearly as tall as you. Probably 4 or 5 inches shorter than Victor. So, yeah, I'd like to see that change a little bit. And I could see it happening as Pop develops more trust in him. Because, again, it's a partnership. Saying, hey, Victor, it's just we can't have that. You don't want that, Victor.
Right. Correct.
Because the truth is, I think Victor is all in on winning.
I agree.
Not about self-glory. He'll get it.
Yeah.
He's gonna make the most he can make most of his career until he gets really old, barring injury, obviously.
Of course.
And his endorsement deals are going to be absurd. I don't know what these deals are like.
Yeah.
He's not going to do a $200 million clothing deal, probably.
No.
But he might do a gigantic McDonald's deal and a Coke deal.
Sure.
And a video game deal, whatever. He's going to have all of those things where he does the same thing like – he's got to eat like every person eats. He's got to wear jewelry like every person's jewelry. The clothing stuff is different because he's so tall, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You mentioned Duren's using what he can do, like a sledgehammer. Yeah. Did you see Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1?
Is that the last one?
That's the last one, yeah.
I've not, my son saw it.
Okay.
Which makes me very happy because I introduced him to the franchise. Yeah,
I know you like
it. Good franchise. Yeah,
this isn't spoiling anything. But when you said the sledgehammer rule, Angela Bassett's character says to Alec Baldwin, he's like, "You like to use the scalpel," I prefer the hammer. You know, it's what I talked about last week with Evan Mobley. Are you too toolsy? And it's like those guys who maybe can only do, well, it's much easier for you to make an impact, like Derek Lively right now, right? Yeah. No, you're not going to do any of that other stuff because
don't
you can't right
now. Protect
the
rim, set good screens, don't turn the ball over, show up early, stay late, ask questions, keep your mouth shut otherwise. Like, there is a recipe here that can work for anyone. The exceptions are the exceptions. Victor, Chet.
Correct.
First of all, their IQs are very good. Chet was playing for Team USA, mm-hmm. Before he had puberty almost. Mm-hmm. Those guys have an advantage. Most rookies don't think this way. Plus, Chet's been in the league a year already.
Right.
He didn't play, but he was around for a year. That he's meeting with his coach every week for breakfast. For sure.
which you love.
Yeah, amazing. So who knows how much Lee learned from there. Yeah, I think that's the smarter way to do it.
And you mentioned Wiseman. I'm worried about him because Monty Williams had said that the backup center role is going to be between Dern and Wiseman. Well, it ain't looking like Wiseman's winning any minutes. I mean, he's DNP'd CD three straight games.
Right.
I mean, is this a situation where he could find himself out of the league soon?
No, someone else will try him.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some teams that need some bigs. Yeah. And but he's got to perform when he does. And the thing is, he in one of his preseason games, he had 20 points.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did.
He's still got a chance. He just I don't know who's his agent, his manager. The Warriors deserve some blame. He deserves some blame. But yeah, he's got to turn the big rig around soon.
I wonder if he can do what you're saying though. Let's say he goes somewhere else and just all you do is run, rim run, dunk everything. Don't turn the ball over. You do those things first.
He can do it. The question is he willing to? Right. And as a team recognize this is what we have to do is keep it more simple for him. For him, it might be more defensive minded. He may really struggle on defense. I thought his offense was coming. Stop shooting threes right now, James. You're just not good enough. You know, you're not good enough. You had your chance. That window was closed. Right. Victor Wembanyama can shoot a bunch of threes, even though he's not a very good shooter.
Correct.
At some point, they might close that window for a while and then get it back again. For James, you got to narrow everything down and dominate the paint. You know, that's step one.
Yeah, no, I like it. All right, guys, we'll be back after a brief commercial break.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Okay, David, we mentioned some teams that have been doing a lot of different things and early, but they have sort of a glutton of players at that position, and that might make them an attractive trade partner for someone who needs, whether it be center help, whether it be point guard help, Indiana, right? They've got Nembhard, they've got Haliburton, they got TJ McConnell. Well, we know who's playing, right? It's Haliburton and Nembhard. TJ, we talked about it last week, right? He's basically not playing. He can be valuable somewhere. The Timberwolves have three centers, right? In Rudy, well, three bigs. Rudy, Cat, and Naz Reid, right? And Naz Reid's playing well. So if he's going to be the backup center, do you move Rudy? Do you move Cat? Who's the guy, right? And we know that Toronto needs a point guard. Like, there are so many teams that, need some things, and there are players that, might need a fresh start somewhere else.
Toronto could use a point guard and a backup center to Jakob Poeltl, who's been kind of struggling, although the team is doing well when he's on the court. But TJ McConnell didn't play his first game at all. He did play their second game. I don't know why, except they were getting murdered by Cleveland without Mitchell and Garland
on the road. That's bad.
LeVert was scorching Ben Mathurin. So
Ben doesn't play defense. You don't know that
yet,
he can.
Not yet. He doesn't. I'm not sure he'll ever be able to. That's the question. So Rick Carlisle just got a new extension, deservedly so, in my opinion. He put in TJ with Nembhard together, and Aaron Nesmith.
And, oh, that's right. They have Nesmith too.
And who was starting for them last year. And that second unit dug them out of a huge hole, and they blew Cleveland out. And TJ played great. And yet, Nembhard's not going. I mean, Nembhard also played very well. He just didn't have the ball in his hands because TJ was the one. Mm-hmm. But Andrew is their future backup one and potentially starting two. But he should be someone starting one at some point, not today or tomorrow. He's in his second year. And so Indiana has a luxury of riches. They also have Buddy Hield coming off the bench, who could probably start for some teams desperate for just a pure shooter with no conscience.
And right? Miles Turner.
Miles Turner, I think they're going to keep him.
Okay.
I don't know. I just don't know. He's got a good contract, team friendly. Mm-hmm. The center thing with Minnesota is interesting. I don't know who would take Rudy. Yeah. I think people would trade for Cat, and I think people would trade for Nez, who just signed a new extension.
For sure.
So he's got a poison pill. So it's intriguing to watch as things play out. We see these contenders so similar in terms of wins and losses. We project that. Even a team that is projected to be second tier or third tier might feel like, man, we just have a big hole at one or five, let's say. Right. We get them. Now we're at least second tier. And we're an injury away from maybe being first here.
Yeah.
It'll be the market's going to be very good for teams that are very deep in certain positions to make some deals to help them down the road, I think.
No, I think you're right there. And of course, the league is also still waiting on potentially the James Harden deal, if and whenever that gets done. Terrence Mann hasn't played. And I wonder.
No, he hasn't played. He's been hurt.
But I wonder. Okay, so it's a hurt thing, but are they also like, well, you're going to be part of a trade, so we're not really rushing you back either?
My sources tell me that's not the case.
Okay.
But I don't know that I'm right because no one really knows. The injury thing's separate from that. He's not even dressing at all.
Right, yeah, at all.
Yeah, I just I trust that they're on the up and up. You know, we mentioned the Clippers just in passing, but I like what I've seen. I like the feistiness of Zubac and the and obviously the big two, of course, and their depth.
Yeah. Look, San Antonio played poorly in that game last night, and I'm going to give the Clippers some credit for that.
For
but
sure.
Man, Paul George must have picked himself's pocket like at least twice, stole the ball. I was like, oh my God. And when him and Kawhi are just like, they're doing that thing, it's like, yikes. This is why everybody's like, the Clippers.
I picked them to win the championship last year.
But we always know it's like, but health, right? That's always the big but with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kawhi for sure will not be playing anywhere near. I doubt he plays 65 games this year. He'll probably be in the 50, and it's on purpose. And then they're going to just try to manage him.
I have a question about that. Mm-hmm. So who is the NBA to tell Kawhi Leonard, who says, I'm not playing because I feel pain when I play? Mm-hmm. Who are them to say, no, you don't play? Like, I think that's the loophole. Like, don't call it rest.
Right.
He's in pain, and we're not making him play in pain. You're really going to fine people for making guys play in pain? That's sadistic.
Right, right.
Yeah. I think there's a way around it. It's going to be he's hurt.
Well,
and so he's playing hurt plenty. He's not playing hurt tonight.
Well, Kawhi for sure, because he is a special example, and I've said this a million times, he has a chronic leg
history.
It's very clear, right? Yep. And playing NBA basketball makes it worse. So he cannot play 82 games. It's just not feasible. But they're like, we can get him, deliver him to April healthy. We're going to do that. And our plan is you're going to play 55 or 60, whatever the number is, right? And that's going to do it. And that's barring he doesn't get any new injury or aggravate it worse. That's just what they're going to do straight off the bat because of the chronic pain he has in his legs. So that will be very interesting to watch and see what happens there. But yeah, I like the Clippers a lot. They look, again, him and Paul George, that's, you don't get alpha predator wings like that off trees. You know, they're really, really good.
They can score against most guys you have, and you're going to have trouble scoring against those two guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love Ty. So.
Ty's a very good coach.
Yeah. I'm very intrigued with that team.
Absolutely. All right, David, there, we know the NBA is in the middle of not quite in the middle because they have one more year to go on this current deal, but they're talking about their next media rights deal, which, by the way, once that gets done, Adam Silver said expansion is the next thing. And we already know the two favorite cities, Seattle being one, Las Vegas being the other. And after we talked about it on this show, you know, Jody Allen, owner of the Portland Trailblazers, has to sell the team as part of her brother, the late Paul Allen's living will.
Right.
Well, Jody's no fool. She's waiting for expansion to get that expansion money. Because those of you who don't know, let's say, so the expansion fees are going to be anywhere between $3.5 billion probably and like $4 billion, right? Jeez. To buy one of these teams.
So
when you fork over that money, that money gets divvied up among the other 30 owners in the league. Now, Jody Allen's a very rich woman. She's a billionaire. She doesn't need more money, but that's what makes you, she just wants it. So she's probably going to wait until that happens so she can collect that expansion fee dollars. And then, you know, the Blazers will get sold to whoever or buy whatever. But, right. You know, it's just your daily dose of welcome to capitalism. But anyway, the NBA is negotiating its deal. We heard figures thrown out there, $50 to $75 billion. That's a hell of a lot of money. And it's going to get, and as Henry put on our call this morning, that's also the league using media to put out messages to bidders, bid high. I don't know if you're going to want to bid that high because we know what the ratings look like and they aren't great. And you want to get an ROI, right? What is the return on my investment? Which is why, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, Adam Silver and the league is like, well, we have this player participation policy. You guys have to play because they want those ratings to draw high. So that when they have these meetings, they can point to, well, look, all the games, Steph, LeBron, and this one and that one playing, look at the numbers you get. Look how much advertising dollars, this, that, and the third. But we have a problem, David, in that each team locally negotiates its own media rights deal, right, with the local cable company, RSNs, which, and if you're paying attention, those companies have been losing money. Bally Sports, who's the Tribune owns another set that are having issues. They've all got problems. And if that continues to happen and those companies go bankrupt, the league then, David, can take control again of the media rights for those teams. And that's a valuable property. Two teams they won't be able to take control of are the Knicks and the Lakers because they have longstanding rights deals with their local partners. And those MSG Networks and whatever LA's is, Spectrum, I want to say, they do really well. So because the Knicks and the Lakers are very popular. So those companies are fine. But the other ones, the NBA controls them. That's another piece that they can use in their quiver to say, okay, TNT, how much do you want to pay us? And ultimately, what I think is going to happen, it's going to get broken up between a number of entities. Amazon may get some, ESPN may get a little bit. I think an over-the-top broadcaster may get some, an NBC, right? Like it used to be when we were younger, David. You have actual, like, not cable, just Channel 4, which is important because I think you want to get young fans. And if you can't find the channel, or I don't have Amazon Prime, or I don't have Netflix, or whatever, or I just don't want to pay for that. I just want it to be free. If it's over Channel 4, you get it for free. So this is a very interesting time the league is in right now.
It is. It's funny, maybe ironical, that the better way to get to kids is through streaming.
It is.
My son and daughter don't have cable.
They watch on their phones and they stream on whatever?
I really don't know what they do, but I know they're not cable. I don't pay the bills. My wife does, but I know that isn't one of the bills that she has is cable. But I think they watch it on their phones. Yeah, I don't think my daughter watches much TV at all, but my son watches games all the time and they stream it into their TV. I've seen that. I don't know, whatever device they're using.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting because that's how people are consuming stuff more and more. I happen to think everything should be free. I've said this on the show. Get rid of League Pass. I mean, it's $150, I don't sweat. I'm lucky.
Right.
I'm 59 years old. I don't have to sweat. That will be 59 very soon. I don't care about that. But the average college kid can't afford it.
Correct.
A lot of people can't afford it. Or if they afford it, there's something else that's hurting them some. So mm-hmm. I'd love people to watch it. And I'd love them to restrict the video clips that can be made available. Make people watch games. I've been a big believer in that. Make people watch games. There's a drama to it. There is I can watch a scene from Hamilton, a song in a scene from Hamilton, and enjoy it. But until I saw the play,
then you get it.
Nothing close to the same. Mm-hmm. And even now, having seen it twice in the theater, I'll put on a YouTube. There's a couple of songs that I really like a lot. It's not the same as when I sit down and watch the whole thing with my wife, which we've probably seen 4 or 5 times now, the movie version. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think our game needs to be engulfed that way, embraced that way, and digested that way. And so if I was involved in the NBA level, I'd be constantly thinking about how do we get younger people to commit more or less 2 hours to this experience? Let's get it less than 2 hours if possible.
Yeah, huge.
Listen, I've been saying 40-minute games for a while now.
Yeah, you have.
Cut the 8 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. I want to cut to 72 games as a trial to get to 58. Mm-hmm. Let's do 72 to 40 minutes, and let's just asterisk all the records we have. Mm-hmm. Fine. And we can get it in 2 hours. And I think they'll watch movies for that. Now, they might be on the phones for half of it. That's all right. All right.
That's okay.
Yeah. So that's just some of the ideas I have. But you and I are on the same page in that we want these teams to make as much money as possible. I want the players to make as much money as possible, which means fans are engaged. And that helps all of our businesses.
No, I think you're right. And I love the idea about going on a 40-minute game. So you go 10-minute quarters instead. Yeah. And yeah, you get it done in under two hours or less. That's something somebody can commit to. And I just think it's smart, right? Look, the league always talks about how they like to innovate. Well, guys, innovation time is here. Like this model that we've currently been using ain't working anymore. You see it. Like it's literally broken. Now, the next thing is that ESPN, because newsflash people, Disney's trying to sell ESPN because it is a money loser for the company. Like that's part of the problem. The next thing is that if ESPN doesn't have the money to fork over for part of the rights to the NBA, ESPN will give the NBA equity stake in it, right, as in exchange for payment. So what that essentially means is, right, is the NBA will own part of ESPN and have its own content house inside of ESPN, which used to be a credible news organization. I mean, ESPN's long stopped being a credible news organization many, many years ago. But now it's literally going to be, if that happens, that wing is going to be NBA propaganda. Right? That's all you're going to get. You're not going to get any serious diving into issues, which is why, of course, you should be subscribed to TrueHoop.com. Because if you want to get the real stuff, that's where you get it. But you're going to get nothing there. You're going to get all fluff. The league is great. Everything's good. And it's like, okay, sure. That's fine. But that, to me, is super interesting if they go that route. And then TNT may not want to give, which is Warner, is the bigger holding company. They may not want to spend as much on their package as well. And if they do that, I wonder what that does to the Emmy award winning inside the NBA. Because while you and I don't watch it for learning anything, it is a hilarious show that fans love and are super entertained by. So does Amazon come in and say, you know, like they do with Thursday Night for football, we'll take that inside the NBA package and Chuck and Ernie and Kenny and Jack, and they'll come with us? Or does Netflix say that? Who knows?
All right. On this subject, I want to add one thing, and I hope Amazon does it. Netflix, which has their own comedy channel on Sirius. I never listened to it, but I know it's there. Someone hire comedians as color commentators. make sure they know something about the game. I don't enjoy listening to anyone talk about the game when they don't really enjoy it. There's plenty of dudes that, and women, let me be very clear. I don't care what the gender is. Funny people who know and love the game and respect the players. I don't need you to disrespect. I don't need comedians to make fun of fat guys and bald guys. Yeah. I don't like it about anyone. I really don't like humor that way. Richard Pryor did not do that typically. He did it somewhat, but not typically. That's my favorite. And let them announce it. If you want to, get people to watch the game, let them laugh. Let them be entertained.
I like that.
The pregame shows are the worst. These 89-year-old short dudes talking about basketball and pick and roll coverages. I mean, I think I've told this story before. I went to a very famous camp. I worked it, and we had guest lecturers. I became one later on, but I was young, in my 20s then. And we brought in a lot of NBA guys, and Mike Fratello came in once.
The czar of the telestrator.
We had a 1-hour lecture every day from after lunch, 1 hour in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, in a gym with air conditioning. This is a true story. This is 90s. Yeah. This ain't 40s. Right? My parents were born in the 40s, not me. There was no air conditioning in the gym. And his lecture was called The 8 Ways to Defend the Pick and Roll. I am not kidding. And I was not interested. And I lived for that.
You're right. You love it.
But not in that context.
Right.
I got up from the floor. I was sitting on the floor. We all sat on the floor, by the way. Because you couldn't have enough for all the kids in the stands. So you had to sit on the ground. And I was just a pool of sweat underneath. And I hadn't played all day. 8 ways to defend pick and roll. Come on. Make it interesting. Make it exciting. Yeah. Let's get some really clever people. Experiment with it. Just experiment with it. Have fun with it.
I'm with you.
I mean, that's what the guys are on TNT. They're funny.
Yes, hilarious.
And they know the game well. They barely know the players, though.
Right. Yes. As evidenced by who he played for. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. No, I love that. And here's something the NFL did, David, I'm always reticent to give the NFL any credit for anything, but they have an alternate broadcast, not the Manning cast, which, by the way, that's super successful on Monday Night Football.
Is it really?
People,
well, I didn't know they do it every week. That. I didn't know they did it. I didn't know Monday Night Football still existed.
People, but I knew there was a Manning cast.
So it's just I love that. The two of those guys being funny.
They'll have a guest. Like every, and first of all, Petey and I are funny because they'll make fun of each other. That's what makes Charles agree. He lets you make fun of him, unless you're in on the joke. People like that. And they have a guest every quarter or so.
It's also, as human beings, we like when we find out that the world's greatest whatever are pretty like us.
Yes.
They just were better than us at that.
Correct.
And to Peyton's credit, I don't know anything about Peyton Manning. But watch his SNL skits from years ago.
It's funny.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he's a funny dude. Right?
I don't know Eli at all, but have you seen the thing where he dresses up as the football player?
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
For Penn State? Yep, hilarious.
Right. Mm-hmm. Hilarious. So yeah, just, yeah so those guys. So come on. When you're a comedian, it can be a former player if you want it to be. They're funny. Corey Brewer is really funny. He's coaching. He can't do it, but he is a funny dude and tons of energy. Yeah. Let's get rid of the old dudes who tell us how it was much tougher when they played and then give us the 8 ways to defend the pick and roll. Sorry.
Like NBA TV, this stuff is so boring. I'm like, guys, and the whole setup of the big desk and the four analysts, but no one wants that anymore. No one wanted it then. I don't know that anybody wants it now. But I was thinking about the NFL. So Manny Cass is one thing they do that's innovative.
Yeah.
They also had a couple of games, not every week. They have an alternative Nickelodeon cast designed to get younger kids interested in football.
That's genius.
I mean, NBA, you guys say you're the most innovative league. I'm not seeing it. Like, the time to be innovative is not when the house is already on fire, which, newsflash, it is, right? So, like, you got to be ahead of the curve on some stuff. So I'd love to see them really be different with this. You know, I'm a big football fan, world football, not American football. And ESPN does a cool thing during the La Liga game, and I was watching El Clasico this weekend, Real Madrid and Barcelona. And they have all these sort of like neat little like graphics they pull in from like expected goal, whatever. And so for the people who want to get super deep into basketball, do that too. I'm saying make something available for everybody. The casual, the nerd who wants X's and O's, you got the money. There's plenty of people who can do it. Let's do it and push it forward. I don't know what they're waiting on.
Do you think, and I don't want to get too into the weeds and get away from what we do best, but do you think that the dirty money that they're getting in now, and you know exactly what I mean, this sport washing doesn't work if it makes you more unpopular?
Correct.
Right. You're trying to, hey, nothing to see here.
Yeah, we're good people. We're look,
giving you the money. You're wearing hands off everything. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything to draw even more negative attention. Oh, what have you done to our sport? So they're just doing nothing. Because I'm worried about it. I do have a concern that after this deal, I'll be maybe retired at that point. I don't know, but I don't want to be necessarily. I like doing what I do very much. It keeps me young and virile and excited to wake up every morning. And I can't do it if the players aren't making any money. Because then I can't make any money.
Remember, we had Ben Aaronson on this summer when we did our Future of the NBA pod. And Ben said, I'm not worried about this deal. This deal will get done and they'll have money. Right. It's the one after. So 9 years down the road, where is that? Because again, 10 years, first of all, no one would have said 10 years ago that the way we consume TV and movies would be the way it is now. Nobody. So why do you assume that we're going to know what we're going to be consuming 10 years from now? You have no idea what that's going to look
idea.
Like. So what we do know is that model of, sure, here's $50 billion. That's not from cable. No, sir. That's not going to work. So the league better figure some stuff out. And again, just be innovative. Try things.
Yeah.
One of the great things about Silicon Valley that I enjoyed when I worked there was startups had this mentality. Just try shit. See if it works. Yeah. If it does, we'll scale. If it doesn't, move on. Do something else. And the NBA can afford to do it because they have the money. Startups are broke, right? They got nothing. Try shit.
When I've coached teams that clearly were up against it, against a better team, we took that same approach of, like, let's just play totally differently. Yeah. We're underdogs. Well, the NBA, you're an underdog right now.
Right.
Yeah. Stop acting like you're the big king of the hill. You're not.
Exactly. Try things. A couple of things, David, before we wrap. The NBA is going back to East-West format for the All-Star game. Yeah. And I want to be like, Adam, do you really think this is the thing that's going to make a difference all of a sudden? Like, no. Honestly, I think fans probably, the casual fans who would tune in, I think they like the idea of captains picking teams because they want to be like, oh my God, who's going to get picked last? But you go back to East-West all-star format, I don't know. I don't think that matters.
So I did not know and have not watched an all-star game since Magic's last game. However, It's a big deal.
Yes.
It's a vehicle that you're marketing. Correct. I would suggest a 3-on-3 tournament.
Oh,
because it's not easy to just be lazy in 3-on-3.
Correct.
I think they would compete. First of all, I want to get rid of all of it. But if you're going to do something,
right?
Do that.
Yeah.
Do that. So 3-on-3 tournament for everyone not play. You should do the play-in when you're doing the All-Star Weekend. Mm-hmm. Play-in championship, All-Star Weekend should be combined.
I like it.
It would be unbelievable. And so you can't play in the All-Star game if you're playing the play-in championship.
The in-season tournament, you mean?
Sorry. In-season tournament, yes. And then do 3-on-3.
I love it.
Play to 12, play to 11, best of 3 to 7, whatever. They'll fucking compete.
Hell yeah.
And it'll be hard to ref because it'll be physical as hell, but that's how you do it. And it actually be really good because the games don't really matter.
Right.
Is let do it on TNT. And have Charles referee one court, Shaq referee one court, Kenny Smith ref one court. Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
I love
They'll take it seriously too.
They
won't fuck around. And now you're arguing with in two cases a legend, but in all three cases, popular guys.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty funny. Yeah.
See, NBA, by the way, if we see that idea and you do not give monetary credit and publishing credit to True, we'll know what's up. But look, David just came with an idea just off the top of his head. Come on, guys, do some. We're going back to East versus West format. Great. Because that's going to matter.
I made the mistake the other day. So if you go to Synergy and search. So let's say I type in Karl Anthony Towns, mm-hmm. which I don't remember if this was who it was. It wasn't actually. You'll get all of his seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be Minnesota 23-24, 22-23, but also mm-hmm. Team Giannis. I only honestly forgot about the captains until some of the guys I looked up. Mm-hmm. I saw Team Giannis or Team LeBron. Is that right?
Were those the two captains? There were two captains for many years. Yep.
And so mm-hmm. I made the mistake of just instead of clicking on 22-23, I clicked on 22-23 All Star.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I'm watching on my. I have a big monitor behind this laptop here, and I'm kind of my phone. I look up, and I just see this most ridiculous, absurd, wide open dunk imaginable in the half court. And it took me a second to realize, oh, it's the All Star game.
Yeah,
no one's guarding. It's not basketball.
Yeah.
It's just a very tall man jumping really high and dunking against the air. Like, everyone get out of the way. Like, this isn't.
No.
3-on-3, you're not going to do that. You're just not going to do it.
David, do
half
you?
Half court, 3-on-3. Hold on. And there's another one, too. 1-on-1 full court.
Well, listen.
Do a short game for a guard, 1-on-1 full court. That's how I played all my college years.
So you
That's
do it.
Fucking fun.
So you break everybody into two categories or three categories. Guard, wing, big.
I would just do guards under 6'6 or whatever, under 6'4, so they can't just back you down. Under 6'2, I don't care.
Right.
And do 1-on-1 full court to 20.
Love
so
it.
They're stopping and popping. They're racing and scoring. They got to get back. Remember, if you drive, I played 1,000 mm-hmm. games of this. If you decide to go by your man and score, you got to really race back to go the other way. You better fucking make your shot. If you shoot the three, at least you're guaranteed to get back on defense, right?
Right.
Those are fun. That would be really cool. Yeah.
I like it. Do you? So, of course, I remember that famous Magic All-Star game and all the ones in the late 80s.
It's the last game I saw.
But do you? Those games weren't more competitive than now.
No.
Okay. Because everyone's like, oh, no. I'm like, no one cares. No one
Not
played.
Until the final couple of minutes.
Yes, which is what happens now still. Final Correct. Minutes, people are like, all right, we're going to have a chance to win. Like,
if that's the case, then just play 6 minutes.
I agree.
So I'm fine for that, by the way. I'm fine for it. In Coach Thorpe's All-Star Weekend, we do the in-season tournament championship.
1-on-1.
Even a consolation mm-hmm. two. Under 6'2". You get the measuring stick mm-hmm. out, 6'2" mm-hmm. in shoes, measure it up. You pick 10 guys or whatever. The fans can do it. That'd be fine mm-hmm. with me. Mm-hmm. Kyrie would be pretty tough to beat, by the way. If he's under 6'2". And you play to 20, some number 21, whatever. And then a 3-on-3 tournament again. Mm-hmm. And you can have a guard, a wing, and a big. Mm-hmm. Every team, mm-hmm. guard, wing, big. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
And then you do 8 minutes, 8-minute quarter of All-Stars.
Love it. Love it.
5-on-5, yeah. That'd be
Come
cool,
on, man.
Yeah.
This is
have like guys, seven guys, have six yeah, guys. Yeah.
It will give you so instead of like 3-point contest, slam dunk. No one cares about that.
Is that when watching slam dunk? I can't tell you the last time
I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it. I don't know what the ratings look like. But they're not great. They're not great.
And the 3-point thing, I'm telling you right now, someone just texted my old assistant Ryan Pannone, just because it was his ideas more than mine. I asked him, Kevin Martin's getting bored with my shooting drills. I need you to shoot them every night. I'm also don't want him to get sick of my voice. He hears me all year round. You be a shooting coach at night. You're amazing, Ryan was. He was young. but you need to come up with things, because if you don't come up with new contests, he's going to kill everything and get bored with you. He won't get bored with me because I've known the boy since he was 19. Now he's 25. Ryan just has the most, I mean, there's a lot of shooting drills. Ryan's got some amazing ones, all with a clock.
Yeah, I love
it. So it's not just five racks. It's so I would never do that. The shit we do is real and hard. And there's never ending stuff. Do that for your shooting contest. That would be way better than the racks.
I like it.
And they're moving a lot too.
I'm with you. All right, David. So you know in the NFL, because how could you miss this story, that Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce is dating Taylor Swift. And she shows up at games and it's a huge deal. And traditional NFL fans get mad because they have all these Taylor Swift fans who don't know anything about football, watching games and asking dumb questions. And I'm like, yeah, but you want your sport to be popular, don't you? Who cares? We just want to bring this up. The NBA has a new official underwear partner. The official underwear partner of the NBA is Skims. David, do you know who the founder and CEO of Skims is?
I saw you put that in the document, and I just assumed it was some billionaire that is now involved.
Is she a billionaire? I don't think she's quite a billionaire yet. Anyway, woman. The CEO and founder of Skims is one Kim Kardashian. And the reason I put that
Not in pop culture anymore. I have no
in idea. The doc is because whatever you think about Kim Kardashian as a person or whatever, there are people that follow her and her family.
She's a billionaire, isn't she, or no?
Her sister Kylie is, for sure. I don't know if she is. She might be close. Either way, she's super rich.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
There are people who live, eat, and breathe everything the Kardashians do. So if the Kardashians are now their company, or Kim's company, is the official partner of the NBA as far as underwear, that's a big deal. Are we going to see some Kim Kardashian NBA player crossovers? Not in terms of dating, guys. Get your minds out of the gutter, though she has dated NBA players before. Just more like, again, another avenue to bring in a different segment of fans in to watch the games. I think that's something very important to watch. David and I just talked about how the league's got a broadcast deal coming up. They got to find new and innovative ways. You may not like it, but listen, if it brings more eyeballs, I don't care.
When I was 22, I was dating this, as I said, this incredibly beautiful woman who ended up becoming my wife. And I also started coaching at the same time. So literally, our first day was October 3rd, 1987. I think my first game was probably November 8th. So I had 2 weeks where I was dating her and wasn't yet coaching a team in a game. We had been practicing only. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was for Christmas that first year. She was Catholic then. I bought her a book written by Jerry West's wife. It was basically a wife's guide.
Right.
To the NBA or to basketball. I forget which one it was now. We have it still. And I put masking tape over the wife and I wrote in girlfriend. I want to be presumptuous.
Cool. Yeah.
It was stupid at 22, but not that stupid. So it was just a very boring book, super boring. But, and it didn't work. She never really got into basketball. She was into me, thank God, not into basketball. Still not into basketball. So I completely agree with you though. The NFL should be thrilled. And I did not know Taylor Swift was dating Travis Kelce for the reason everyone else did. I did it because my daughter's a Swiftie. I was in her car. Went to go wash her car the other day, and Taylor Swift is playing because that's her idol, which I'm thrilled about. And so not that she told me about Travis. I'm just paying attention. I don't know a single Taylor Swift song, by the way. Not
sure
one.
I'm sure if you hear it, you know it, but you don't know the names.
That's what I thought, but I had failed like 3 straight tests. Yet, do you think Taylor Swift sings this? Yes or no? And whenever I say yes or no, I've been wrong every time. So I don't know. I respect the hell out of her for sure, and I'm going to watch her documentary. Yeah. Not a movie, but a documentary. My wife watched it with my daughter the other day. I had games on. But what are people complaining about? Like, my goodness. But honestly, the average Trumper is miserable. And that's why they're Trumpers to begin with. And they just find more reasons to be upset. Meanwhile, the sun is shining. Yeah. We're still of a country. May not have it for long. We're not living in a war zone right now. There's plenty to be happy about. You have football games and a super popular woman dating one of your athletes.
Who cares? Yeah.
What are you fucking bitching about?
Right, who cares?
Christ, man.
Who cares? So yeah.
How old is she, by the way?
Who, Taylor Swift or Kim Kardashian?
Taylor Swift.
Oh God, she her early 30s. I have to imagine. Let me see.
What are we quarterbacking her for? Let her do what she wants to
people,
do.
People are listen, like you said, people have something they 33. People always have stuff that they want to complain about, you know? So
do we have an NBA player as an ambassador for Skims?
Is it SGA?
I don't know. See. That's what I'm wondering. If they're the official underwear partner, you would think we'd have an NBA player, some thin guy, probably.
Yeah.
They're all thin anyway.
It might be SGA. I saw a photo with SGA with Skim, so it could be him. Either way, whoever it is, guys.
Oh, Canadian. I like it.
Crossover. We're going to get more people involved. Look, if that means some NBA players besides Tristan Thompson got to show up on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, whatever. I don't care. Right? Whatever's going to get.
That show's still on the air?
It's now called, so it changed. It's not called The Kardashians. It's on Hulu. Right.
Hulu,
and, you know,
really?
Tristan's, you know, has a daughter with Chloe, her Kim's sister. That's why he's on the show. So, yeah, let's do the thing, man. I don't care if they're going to be a whole thing at All-Star about Kim and Skims. Fine. I don't care. Whatever gets eyeballs on this sport, gets more fans, we need it. I think it's the best league in the world. But, you know, we don't. That's not a title that you get handed. It's like being the world's best player. You got to earn that shit, man.
You got to earn it. You got to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting to the mountaintop is great. Staying there is hard.
I'm with
Every
you.
Every bit as hard as getting there.
For sure. Denver. Well, Denver will be learning that this season. Yeah. All right, guys. We'll be back on Thursday with more games. Take care.